You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We're recapping the Heat's 112-102 loss to the Boston Celtics, dropping both games in the home-and-home series this week and falling out of the playoff picture, at least for now. With the loss, Miami drops to ninth place in the East, which is crazy because if they had won, they could have moved up into sixth place. But ultimately, even with Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson momentarily returning, the Celtics were just too much for the Heat, David.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at Josh Richardson's impact. First of all, he played in the first half, and then almost immediately in the second half, seemed to injure some part of his leg when he came down trying to go for a block, and he wasn't really all that effective. Winslow wasn't that effective either. Both of them.
He seemed to try to, I guess, avoid the stanchion or something on his land, and I guess maybe hyperextended his leg or something. He came up limping, and he went back to the locker room, and it was reported back as a leg injury. And he didn't come back in the game. He only played 16 minutes, had 7 points on 3-6 shooting.
Yeah, not a bad night for him. And, you know, he was tasked with the defensive stop on Kyrie Irving. That didn't work out particularly well. But even then, you know, he wasn't largely effective. He just wasn't able to really get into a comfortable rhythm. Justice seemed a little bit more out of sorts, having missed a much more number of games. But still, even without them, Miami did have an opportunity. I mean, they were up even in the fourth quarter. Now, it followed a similar pattern to the previous loss on Sunday night when they had allowed Boston to get into a big lead early on. Not as big as it was on Sunday, but they still struggled early on, and they kind of worked their way back, and again, were able to tie the game, get close, and then eventually take a lead. But Miami just, I really think they were sloppy all night. The turnover count didn't seem as egregious as you might have thought. They only finished with, 15 turnovers on the night? But either way, they didn't seem like they were in rhythm. Like, they seemed out of rhythm with everybody who was on the floor. Maybe that's because Derrick Jones Jr. wasn't there. Maybe because Roddy Magruder got some playing time. He got 10 minutes in the game. James Johnson came in for some weird action off the bench for 9 minutes. But overall, there was a lot of sloppy passing. Even tip-outs that normally Miami's able to corral, they just didn't seem to have any kind of control on the ball. A lot of tipping around. Not really much, you know, as far as possession is concerned, there wasn't any kind of aggressive play from Miami, and a lot of poor standing around. I mean, they took some really bad shots. They were standing around on defense a whole heck of a lot and just allowed Boston to really dominate that game. I mean, the rebounding edge actually went to Miami, but that's probably because they went 39 of 94 from the floor, only shooting 41.5%. So they did not have
a good... 16 offensive rebounds, and a lot of that was just Whiteside and Bam putting back missed shots. And look, after a big game from Goran Dragic, he scored 30 on Monday in that loss. He came out and put up a stinker, 3 of 15 for 11 points. A really ineffective game for him. I thought that sort of infected, I think, the rest of the offense a little bit because Justice Winslow's coming off the bench. And look, this is one of those games where I think, you know, it's the first game back from injury, and not only are you trying to bring back a guy like Winslow, who, like you said, had missed a lot of time and is obviously rusty, you're trying to also bring back Josh Richardson.
Right.
And then you're also trying to bring back Roddy Magruder, who played 10 minutes in the first half. He played over James Johnson. James Johnson got in later after Richardson went to the locker room and didn't return to the game. So you're playing now where the Heat were playing with basically eight guys. They went 10 deep tonight. And so I think there was a little bit of a feeling out period. I mean, there was a point where James Johnson was like dribbling into mid-range shots. And I was like, what the hell kind of offense is this? Like, the offense was completely out of sorts. They weren't getting good looks. They were missing all the good looks that they did end up getting. They only went 12 of 36 from 3-point range. And so, yeah, they were able to make a couple tough shots here and there, especially Dwayne Wade and Deion Waiters towards the end, but nobody really had it going at an efficient clip. And the defense wasn't able to get the stops when they needed it because Boston ended up, like I said, they scored 112 points in the game. They really were able to take advantage of that zone. This is the issue with that zone defense. This is why I keep going back to the problem with the playoffs. This was like a playoff series, right?
Yeah.
This was basically that. And Boston looked even more comfortable going up against that zone defense than they did Monday night, specifically Al Horford,
yes,
who finished with 21 points on 10 of 16 shooting, kept finding that mid-range area like a slot receiver, just like kept getting into the middle of that zone and daring Whiteside to come out to guard him in the mid-range, and Whiteside didn't, and he kept just sinking shot after shot. I thought he had a huge impact for Boston.
For Patriots fans, he was the Wes Welker of the Celtics offense there. It was amazing. He was the difference maker, really. I mean, there were a couple. I think you could give credit to either him or Gordon Hayward, who had a fantastic night that we'll talk about more a little bit later. But yeah, Horford really was the difference between his shooting and his passing and his ability to put the ball down. He was just very, very effective all night long. And again, really the difference maker there. You have to, at least I did. I don't know if you've had the same issues with it. I think Eric Spoelstra kind of dropped the ball a little bit. He went with some really bad lineup there towards the end when Miami was close but starting to lose a grip on whether or not they were able to make their comeback. And Spoelstra went with a really small lineup. Having Olynyk in there to guard Hayward, that was a really bad matchup. And it just didn't seem to make sense. Wade, obviously not a very good defensive player at this point in his career. Deion, a little lackluster. There was one particular moment there where I think he was supposed to cover Hayward, and he thought he was in the zone, and they were actually in man. Everybody else was guarding their player respectively. Hayward cut to the middle, and then he had a wide-open shot there. And then on the opposing end, they took a bad shot and missed it. And so that was kind of a large swing there where it kind of just seemed like they were demoralized. I mean, you don't want to read too much into any one particular
play. They looked demoralized because they also weren't fouling quickly at the end of the game where you're typically supposed to foul. It did seem they sort of threw in the towel there at the end. I agreed with you on from the body language standpoint. And look, I'm sort of like my bit on this podcast is sort of I always defend Eric Spoelstra, and he hasn't cost the Heat a game all season, and I believe that until tonight. I thought he really got outcoached by Brad Stevens, and again, it's like a playoff series. Boston adjusted. I didn't see a way that the Heat adjusted. Their adjustment was to bring guys back, and they didn't do it in a fluid, reasonable way, and I thought that cost them the game. Just to run through some stats really quick before we move on, Hassan Whiteside had a nice game off the bench, 18 points, 15 rebounds. Was really good with mostly just putbacks, 11 shots. Most of them, again, were just following misses. Bam Adebayo started the game, 26 minutes, 12 points and 12 rebounds. Also had 4 assists. And then we mentioned Al Horford's 21 points. Kyrie Irving had 23. Gordon Hayward had 25 off the bench for Boston. Let's get to a playoff update because some stuff changed. Miami's obviously out of it. We'll get to that when we take your Twitter questions after the break. Let's go to Twitter to answer some of the questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Miami Dude writes in, still kind of control our fate, question mark? I mean, I guess, right? Miami as it currently stands, they're 38-40. They're ninth place in the Eastern Conference. Orlando is ahead of them at 39-40. Brooklyn is ahead of them at 39-40. And then Detroit is there at 39-39. They have the sixth spot. So really the only thing that changed after all of tonight's action, because Detroit and Brooklyn both lost, Orlando won their game against the Knicks, is that Orlando let Miami for 8. But if Miami wins out, that would include a win over Brooklyn on the final game of the season. Right. And so Miami would get there, and then Brooklyn would end up falling out if you know, everybody wins except for that Brooklyn to Miami game. And so, yeah, I guess sort of Miami controls their own fate. But that's asking a whole heck of a lot because they traveled to Minnesota. They got to play Toronto. So the 76ers are still on the schedule and that tough game against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up pretty well. I don't know how much more I can add to that, but they did let it slide. We both predicted a win tonight, and unfortunately Miami fell short because they lacked the ability to make those adjustments, or from Spoelstra's part or from the player's perspective. I mean, there were a lot of things that the players did badly that doesn't fall on Spoelstra, but then Spoelstra went with some lineups that probably were pretty questionable there. And as far as they're controlling their fate is concerned, yeah, I mean, if they win out, then this isn't an issue anymore. But they had a golden opportunity at home when they had some good performances from some guys, like, you know, specifically Adebayo and Whiteside, and they just didn't do enough. You have to give Orlando credit. They played a really good game against a bad New York team, but they did what they were supposed to do. Miami hasn't done that throughout the course of the season.
Billy writes in, what is with Miami and injuries? The story of every season since, like, the second year of the Big Three, seems to be about injuries. Bosch in 2011 during the playoffs, Wade's maintenance program, Bosch's blood clots, and the million injuries between 30 and 11 and now. David, I know that you've had an opinion on this. You've had a pretty hot take on kind of what you can contribute or what contributes to Miami's sort of rash of injuries over the years.
Yeah, I think as much as we love Heat culture and as much as fans want to look to that as saying, you know what, we are defined by how hard we work, that takes its toll. And I think it's taken its toll, especially late in the season. And I think, you know, injuries are bound to happen much more frequently when you're fatigued, when you have, you know, muscles and ligaments that are under a lot of pressure because they're constantly being overworked. I mean, I think we've seen Spoelstra kind of take his foot off the gas as far as practices, but there was a time there midway through the season, even right up until the All-Star break, I want to say, where they were on back-to-backs and still practicing in between or having extra long shoot-arounds. You know, you and I have both been there for Heat shoot-arounds where they can go particularly long. It's just something, you know, long-time beat reporters come to expect that practice isn't going to end until well after they predict it will. And that's unfortunate because I think it's taking its toll. We're seeing a number of players just kind of go through these things. And I think that's just, I think they're absolutely linked. You know, the training staff has to do a little bit better. They're probably mandated by the front office to push these guys to the extreme. And, you know, obviously to get them to lose weight, to get them to be under their body fat and things of that sort. Look, I mean, body fat is important. It helps you absorb impact. It helps you absorb, you know, the rigors of driving into the lane, things of that sort. You don't want to carry that extra weight on there, but I think that's kind of the stuff that you have to do during the off season. And then, you know, during the course of the regular season, you kind of have to relax a little bit, let guys kind of maintain that ship because they're already playing to such a high level for so much of the time that fatigue is going to take its toll.
Yeah, and I don't know that the Big Three era Heat teams and these Heat teams, I don't know if those are necessarily related because the Bosch stuff was crazy. And that abdominal injury was just an impact injury in, you know, late in the postseason, a part of the postseason that the Heat have only reached once before, you know, since LeBron left. So I don't really worry about that. This Heat team is injured because they have to play harder, right, than the other team every single night. Because, like we've said on this show 100 times, they don't even really have a top 50 NBA player at this point. If you or like a top 40 NBA player, if you really broke it down, there's no all-star on this roster. And so there's no guy to just sort of carry them. You know, you see guys like Kawhi Leonard, you know, having this maintenance program thing, and you see, you know, players in Golden State taking off nights and things like that. And the Heat don't have that luxury. Everybody's got to play their hardest all the time for them to win games. The problem with that is that down the stretch, you can only put up with that so long. And that's why we see things like maintenance programs happen. Like, fans can complain about guys taking nights off all they want, but it's necessary because the season is just too long. All right, let's move on to our stat of the game after the break. It's time for our stat of the game.
Take that for data.
David, what do you got?
Maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it, but Gordon Hayward, as we mentioned before, had a phenomenal night off the bench. He played 32 minutes, finished 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range, so he definitely had the perimeter shot dialed up. But 12 of 13 from the free throw line for 25 points. Chipped in 8 rebounds to go along with 5 assists there, working on almost a triple-double. And my statistic is that on nights when, or in games when he scores 20 points or more this season, the Celtics are undefeated. So maybe that's overly simplistic. You know, obviously if he scores a lot, that gives Boston a better chance to win, but he is such a big part of what they can do as far as their bench is concerned. And you kind of tend to forget the impact that Hayward can have because he's going through that injury, because he has looked, I wouldn't say timid, but maybe not as aggressive as he was when he was in Utah. And I think that's fairly understandable considering the extent of the injury that he suffered last year and that he's still, at least psychologically, working his way back from that. But tonight's game, I think, was indicative of the kind of player that Miami hoped to sign when they were trying to lure him in free agency. I mean, a guy who can, I think you overlooked that a little bit, but a guy who really, really does a phenomenal job of drawing fouls because he has enough strength to absorb the kind of blows that is necessary to get to the line. He's quick enough to draw contact. Look, he shot more free throws than almost all of Miami's starting unit. Actually, he did. He outshot Miami's starting unit by a wide margin. Almost outshot the Heat in total. The Heat shot 12 of 20 from the free throw line, and he went 12 of 13 from the free throw line. So That's an underrated aspect of his game that a lot of people overlook. And again, he had his scoring really dialed up a notch, and it cost Miami down the stretch, especially when Spoelstra went with a really bizarre lineup. Kelly Olynyk on Gordon Hayward isn't going to work at any point in time. I'm not sure who could have handled it. I'm not sure why Justice Winslow wasn't in there, at least from a defensive perspective.
Why wasn't Justice in there? That's what I was asking at the end of the game. He's the guy that you need to guard him. I mean, look, I know, what did Justice end up playing?
23 minutes.
Yeah. All right, so maybe there's some sort of minutes restriction as he bounces back from this thing, but I mean, isn't now the time to throw the minutes restriction out the window?
Now is when you're going to be conservative with playing time. You've already overworked guys to this point. It's like, you know, I mean, yeah, you could risk losing Winslow for the next four games and possibly the playoffs if you make it. But, you know, Horford is, and Hayward was killing you, and you've got to do something. And you've got Olynyk, you know, looking past him as Hayward drives right him and gets to the rim or gets to the line. And that was really unfortunate.
Yeah, my side of the game was going to be the free throw disparity. The Celtics took 31 free throws, and the Heat took 20. And I kind of don't want to make that my stat of the game anymore. I don't want to talk about free throws because they're boring. And look, we could talk about the officiating and whatever, but Boston was way more aggressive.
Yeah, no, that's not on the officials.
And it's not on the officials. It's not on the officials. And so my new stat of the game is, Dion Waiters played 42 minutes and Justice Winslow played 23. So Dion Waiters basically played twice as much as Justice Winslow. No wonder the Heat lost. I'm sorry. Dion Waiters can't play 42 minutes in a game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. Like, I understand that you kind of want his bravado and confidence on a night when he shot really badly, and you hope that he's able to connect on a couple three-pointers to get you in there. But again, the issue wasn't, you could have gotten points from anybody at that point. You really needed to stop Boston's offense that looked, again, really, really engaged and fluid, especially with Horford and Hayward playing at the level they were. And I don't know why you have Dion in there at that point. Because, again,
having James Johnson in there to guard
Hayward
would have been a better idea than what they did.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. And Dion, look, you know that we're as big a fan of Dion as can be. But he looks out of control. Him and Wade both out there at the same time. Mm-hmm. They were throwing passes away. They were just, again, that drive and kick, but it wasn't sharp at all. They were, trying to swing the ball out to the perimeter, and there were guys there, but often it seemed like the ball was either sailing out of bounds or just left or to the right of them. And so it wasn't like they weren't hitting those passes on the mark. And so it gets a shooter out of rhythm where they can't knock those shots down comfortably. Or, again, it allows the time for a defender to come and guard them and close that gap a little bit. And then they have to reignite the offense and restart it somehow, possibly look for an open lane if there is one. But you got to give Boston credit, at least defensively. They were doing a pretty good job.
They're the better team, and that's why they won both of these games in the home and home. The Heat will try to get back on track Friday in Minnesota. Hopefully Justice and Josh are a little bit more healthy then. We still don't know what the deal with Josh Richardson is after he left the game, so I'm sure we'll get more information on that in the next couple of days. For now, that's all we got. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Get your mailbag questions in now. Thank you for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
I'm out on this team. They're not making the playoffs.
Wow.
Wrap it up, D.